South Africa.
Shout out to Carl Word.
It's the ever so cool Euphonic.
Yo, this is Will Clark.
What's up? This is your boy Shimza.
This is Caster from Crazy White Boy.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is James Deacon, and you're listening to After Hours with Kyle Wood.
But I thought it would be easier.
Great, and you?
Good. Very glad to be doing something fun. I've been working hard all day, so it's nice to be doing something a bit more chatty.
It's so great to speak to you, and I'm so honoured that you managed to take the time out to speak to me as well. It's really such an honour. I'm such a big fan of your work, so it really is so great. How have things been? How are you doing? How is everybody doing? How is the UK?
Well, the UK is kind of joyous at the minute because we've been allowed to like hug each other officially. And, like we can go to like bars now and restaurants and sit inside and the sun is shining. So I think the UK is kind of jubilant right now.
You're slowly approaching summer, right? As we on this side, we're approaching winter.
Yeah, I can never get my head around that. I'm sure the science is pretty basic, but it blows my mind when I see friends in New Zealand and they're skiing in like July. I'm
just... Yeah, no, exactly.
It's good. How about yourself? You good?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's slowly reviving here. You know, we haven't had such a great test run as in Liverpool. Yeah, it was in Liverpool. I saw that Youssef did this massive get together where there was camel fat. There was a massive rave where there were quick tests. Everybody was getting together and having themselves, my God, in over a year, a get together that was actually a proper rave. You know, like I live, funnily enough, I live and breathe on BBC Radio 1. And every day that I work, wherever I am, at home or at the office, I listen to BBC. And like when I heard and I saw the photos and the videos, I couldn't believe what was going on. It's fantastic. Yeah, we have a capacity of how many people are allowed in the restaurant still.
Those gigs were like 5,000 people. and like everyone was like, you know, like just as if nothing was happening, which was like took a lot to get your head around. I think even if I watch a film now and there's like a cinema scene and there's like people just like close, like my brain's like, whoa, what are you doing?
Exactly. No masks, I swear. Yeah, I know we could probably go into this way into detail because there are so many other serious aspects that aren't as well marketed as COVID are. We're getting there nonetheless, which is great. And the fact that what's happened in the UK over the last weekend or 2 weeks ago was fantastic, I think, for the world to see that there was this movement of like, all right, cool, there's this test run, this is what's happening, this is how we're going to get it going. It's an interesting time, and the last year has been an interesting time, and I'm sure for you guys as well.
I think, without wanting to sound super smug and all the rest of it, like this is, in terms of the band project, it's been the best year for us, like on paper. Like we were nothing and then everything, well, not everything, but like something. And then, so yeah, it's hard to like not sound super smug to say that, but we have had a good year.
Firstly, just to take you back for a second, I latched onto you guys through your collaboration with High Contrast.
Oh, really?
And from there, believe it or not, I really did. I went back because I'm a music nerd freak. You have no idea. So I went back and I'm like, okay, let's hear more. And I went back to the earlier stuff that you guys were making, and to see how it's transformed over the years. And you had that bit of a break, right?
I guess a little bit.
And then there's this flurry of the most amazing collaboration that has made waves across the globe, and especially here. And I'll say this, and I know it sounds arrogant as all hell, but before Not in Love played, I'd already spoken to Frankie. We had the conversation. We had this, we had such a great chat. And obviously it was prior to Easier, which is where we got into, which was like the first release. I wanted to find out from you was how was that transition from you guys doing the music that you're putting together, which wasn't EDM at all, taking a bit of a break and then shifting into collaborations with artists such as Camel Fat and Frankie Watt?
It was unexpected. I think we were more surprised than anyone that people even liked our like dance music ideas, because it was so alien to us to write that style. We were like, probably by the sounds of it, similar to you, proper musos and music nerds. And dance was always something we'd sort of seen as something for like a different type of person. Like, I live in the middle of nowhere. I go to a city like once a year. I've been to about 3 nightclubs in my entire life. My head wasn't in that world. And the same for Jamie and Luke, who, the 3 of us are in the band. And so to go from writing this super like songwritery, crafted music, to writing music that was maybe more, you know, obviously in collaboration with new people and also in a complete new genre, was really fun, first and foremost. And we've like really got the bug for it now. Our label and our management like, no, you have to stop doing that now and go back to doing your own thing. We're like, but we like it, it's fun. And it's really changed the way we write as well. We were probably stuck in a bit of a rut with the stuff we were writing in like 2017, 2018. And the dance collab thing has just sort of popped up out of the water, out of nowhere, and changed our outlook on how we write and if I'm being honest, what we find credible as well. And I think, like any genre, dance music has a lot of amazing stuff and a lot of not so amazing stuff.
Oh yes. Oh no. Listen, there's a spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think we probably had a little bit of a judgment about what dance music was, but the more we've dunked our heads in there, it's like, whoa, this is amazing. So we're loving exploring that more.
Well, listen, the guys that you're working with have been the guys that I've admired for so many years, especially Camel Fat, and the fact that I got to speak to Frankie as well not too long ago was such an honor, and it was over that call that indirectly kind of mentioned that there were certain things coming out, and like a week later, you know, there was this track that came out. I'm like, oh my god, are you joking? So no, I can understand that. How do you feel about being in this space versus going back to where you were originally, and how do you consider the different gaps in the market for those two sounds?
No, totally. I think what we were doing when our story, without going on for hours and hours and hours, is that we got signed very early on. We'd only released one song and we'd never played a gig. And we got signed really very early on, and we didn't know what our style was. We weren't even a band when we got signed. We were just 3 people who wrote music together. And the guys were producing, or like I was doing a bit of writing. And it took us a while to sort of find what we were about. And this whole dance music thing has helped us see exactly what we are. And it is a mix of more and it like songwritery, crafty, sort of almost like Celtic-y vibes, like Scandi pop, and then mixed with like this infusion of beats and stuff, and a bit more pulse driven. So the next stuff you'll hear that is purely Lowe's releases will be more of a combination of those things, and we sit so much more happily with that than we were super proud of the first EP we put out, I think the stuff we're bringing out later this year, we're more excited to play it live, and we're more hopeful about the reception it's going to get. I think,
like, you know, a big thing is the fact that over the last year, yes, over 2020, it was an absolute nightmare across the board, but the current infrastructure that's been happening is that you managed to feature on records that took off while you were still kind of going back and forth with your sound with the band, right? And now, apart from the fact that you're on all these records, you're going back to Lowe's as a whole, right? What sort of style are you going to be focusing on there? Kind of like what you did in the early times that you were signed to Sony, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, so they've been great, Sony, to be fair. They've like really stuck by us, and they know they signed us so early, so they've given us plenty of time to sort of figure out what the hell we're doing.
And, which is amazing, because record labels aren't necessarily the most understanding bunch of people.
No. Well, these guys are amazing, like, and our publishers as well. We had an A&R meeting in 2019, so this is like a year after our EP had come out. And like Wolfgang Boss, who's like our label head guy, he's like really renowned, super cool guy. And he was like, instead of saying like, we just need something that's gonna sell, like something more poppy, he was like, why don't you guys to write a Bohemian Rhapsody? And we were like, what?
Really?
Because never in the history of label A&R meetings has the head of a label gone, go more left, like go more out of the box, which is great because it gave us all this freedom to just be like, well, there's no formula for what he wants and what they're after. And that's good. It's just fun. Yeah. No, they really push us to not adhere to what is out now. And, you know, I think especially early on when we were signed, Jamie and Lucas spent a lot of time in LA writing with previous projects and for other people as well. And they were like super in the pop formula. So the label knew we could sort of churn out those things all day long. They were like, right, well, we've got plenty of them now. Like, what else is there to discover with this combination of artists? The three of us came together and made Lowe's. So hopefully the next stuff that's coming out is more of a reflection of that creative freedom that was like given to us, like a gold pass, and all the collabs and everything we've learned from the likes of Frankie and High Contrast and Camel Fat. And I mean, we do have a few more collabs coming out, which is very exciting, but the stuff we're doing ourselves equally as exciting.
That's what I wanted to actually ask you about, is the work that you guys are doing yourselves, you know, so not just collaborations. Mm-hmm. When record labels or anybody discusses anything about a pop formula or a formula to putting music together, how did you take that? And I'm not saying that was ever advice, but it was part of a discussion. How do you take that and then apply it to what you guys are? Because at the end of the day, you've always got to remain Lowe's and the core to who you guys are and what you've come together with. Collaborations, it's very difficult to separate those two panels in a party, for lack of a better term, you know.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. I think luckily all the people we've worked with in collaborations have been very sort of amenable and respectful, because we are like little fish at the end of the day, and they're like, they've always been like the big player and we're like the little newbies, like, hey, can we join in? But they've always respected us as like fellow musicians, and we've, you know, they are collaborations in every sense of the word, which we're, you know, makes us even prouder of them and wanting to push them. But I think the whole formula thing is like, you sort of use it as a starting block and almost see how far away from it you can dare to go without it actually sounding not very good anymore. And like, there's so many different directions to do that, whether it's rhythms or melodies or you know, arrangements, like,
yeah,
you know, all the sort of cornerstones of a song. There is a formula there and it works,
yeah,
but when you get the magic and the sparkle is often when you try and sort of push those as far away as possible before it just sounds like a big jumbled mess of sound.
Putting something together, and I know it must sound like a record label's cliche, but like reinventing the wheel. But with what you guys did prior to collaborations, your sound, and how you approach songwriting and how you approach the manner of the recording of the record is phenomenal. What I really look forward to is what is next for Lowe's and outside of collaboration, because I think now a lot of people are going to have the opinion of, okay, cool, feature and dance music or whatever initially, but there's always that formula which you want to break, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we've always been, since we sort of decided to go down this collaborations route, which has obviously been super exciting and elevated us a lot, we did not want to be, oh, they're just a vocalist, or oh, they just sing and that's the end of that, and they have nothing to say and nothing to add to the table, as it were. So I think I am super excited about the stuff that comes next, but because it's just got our Lowe's stamp on it, there's no one else to be like, oh, well, it didn't do well because maybe that was your fault, or maybe that, it's like, no, this is just us. And if the world decides to ignore it or doesn't like it, then, in fact, I think I prefer them not to like it than to ignore it. I think they have an opinion on the stuff we're putting out next. And that's what every artist wants, I guess, is for people to either fall in love with it or go, oh, God, that's horrendous. Because it means they have an opinion. You've created a feeling. And
it affects lots of artists because they're like, oh my God, I don't know how to deal with this sort of feedback. But the fact of the matter is you've created such an emotion from your audience and your listener to go, okay, I have an opinion strong enough that I need to say this, this, and this. How have you ever dealt with that in the sense, do you watch these things religiously, or do you just ignore them and do your own thing?
I think luckily the positivity has overwhelmed any negativity so far. I think the three of us are quite resilient as a unit as well. And we love what we're doing. And it just so happens that some other people do, which is great. But we certainly don't really write with the intention of people pleasing or, but I think because by the sounds of it, like you, we just love music. We just love great music that makes you feel something. So that's ultimately our intention whenever we're writing. And I think because our heads are in that mode so often, hopefully that crosses over to other people. And, you know, whenever we record a vocal, it's like it's channeling all the passion and energy and meaning into it. So it doesn't just sound right. It sounds like a feeling. And the same with like playing in the drums, or, you know, choosing samples or playing in guitar parts or whatever it is. It's like you've got to do it as if your life depends on it, without sounding cheesy, because otherwise you don't get that thing across.
No, absolutely. And tell me a bit about Jamie and Luke when you guys got together. I know they're in two other bands, right?
They were in a band before, yeah, called The Feud, which was like, it was so fun. I actually went to see them because they're like 7 years older than me or something. So when I was like 16, I went to a festival and watched them play. And they're like this heavy electro rock band and like so cool and like smashing their guitars around. And I was like, well, that's kind of fun. But at that time I was just like my little keyboard singer songwriter, like Norah Jones-esque. So it was quite a world away. It's like, so yeah, when we started writing together, it took us like a year to figure out. I was like, I've seen you play before. And but yeah, all that like energy of the electro rock project they were in before, which they did really well with, and they like toured Europe and the US and had loads of great experiences with, all of that is now channeling back into what we're doing, which is so exciting because it just feels so much more natural. Like the last EP, not that it was contrived, but I think, again, going back to being signed so early, we just had this one song out and everyone we were meeting was like, oh, you're like this, you guys are this, aren't you? And it was like, all right, maybe we are. And we just sort of went with it. But I think having a year away from pointing fingers and people sort of deciding what we are has been really good. And it's given us so much more energy. And I think I was really keen to never be perceived as this sort of like willowy, damsel-y, like songstress in distress vibe. I just wanted to be like, you know, like Robin and Georgia. They just like have a bit more energy and a bit more like fearlessness than some of the quiet singers, which have a power in themselves, but I didn't want to be that, really.
Music in general, across the board here, and you know, like I follow music across the board, and a lot of people always they're box people, you know. So I think it's amazing the fact that you're able to go through these different processes and moments of going, right, we're going to do this, and not care about what people think, which is always something a lot of people have to overcome.
I think we're kind of, feels like we're living in a good time at the minute for that, because people, or at least, you know, a lot of people, I would say, are really encouraging of that attitude to identity and how you put yourself out there. Mm. I think a lot of bands that I look back at in like even the 90s, it was like once you'd come out with whatever your first thing was, it's like, right, well, that's you now. We just want 6 years of that and then you can leave. Like, whereas now you get bands like constantly reinventing themselves. Like Royal Blood just put out that like really chill ballad, for example.
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
Which is great. So yes, I'm all for that, and I'm very grateful that I live now and not in the 80s.
Because there's a sound. There was a sound, you know, and if you didn't conform, it was a little difficult to make it. Completely outside of collaborations, as Lowe's with Luke and Jamie, how do you take the moment of writing a song, putting it together, sitting in a session, and no one has to know that you've done this? You could have done this a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. At what point after you've sat in that session do you go, okay, this one in particular is worthy of having the world here?
That's so tricky. I think Jamie in the band is really good at knowing quite early on when something is going to be worthy or not. Luke, who does a lot of the production, he has a great ear for melody, but I think when he hears the song produced up a bit more than the basic demo, he's like, yeah, this is going to work, or this needs more work, or we should just throw this in the bin. I think personally it usually comes down, I'm really like precious about giving things out of our little studio. So I don't get stressed, but I usually wait until the label is like, you haven't sent anything in like a couple of weeks. Have you got like, what have you been doing? And then at that point, we probably look at the past five or six songs we've done and then be like, well, which one do we think? But that's a good filtering system in itself, I think. If you just sent everything that we ever made, it would be exhausting for everyone.
I can imagine that it's rather tricky when it comes to trying to piece these sort of things together and make sure that you're at the same time aligning with what you want to be perceived as. Would you say at the moment you're looking to be perceived in a certain way?
I think we always want to be perceived as a band. I don't think we ever want to be perceived as just like, I think with the collaborations that's more relevant right now, but having that band aspect in there I think is always good. I think we just want the music to be exciting. I don't think we ever want to be like on like chill playlists really with like main release. Obviously you need like chill versions of stuff, but I think hopefully we would love it just because we absolutely live for playing live. Like that's our favorite thing. That's kind of like the reason we do it. I think we just write and try and like put out sort of a vibe that is energetic and exciting and like come and lose yourself with those sort of vibe. Because yeah, I think that, oh, this is going to sound so silly, but the older you get, not that I am old, but like compared to being 16, like the biggest drama in your life when you're 16 is like, oh, my best friend didn't come to my, I don't know, my Saturday party or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll forget anyway. Whereas like you get a little bit older and it's like you wise up to a few things and there's plenty more wisening up to be done for sure. But like, going to gigs as an adult has so much more meaning because it's permission to do nothing else and absorb yourself in something. Whereas when you're 16, to me at least at the time, it was just like another thing to do. Whereas now going to a gig for me is like sacred time because like no one can call you and annoy you. You can't like, I don't know, take the car to get fixed, or you can't like write an email about a thing. It's just like, no, I'm just doing this and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So I think we don't want to be putting out gigs or a perception of Lowe's that is like a place to come and be somber and sad. It needs to be like escapism and fun and energy and like leave you with a 6-day adrenaline rush. That is the aim.
It really is so depressing to mention how long it's been, but over this lockdown, how has it affected your mood and headspace with regards to writing music when you mention how you want it to be this sort of experience? How did you go through that process of like, oh my God, I'm isolated. I can't see so many people. I can see a few because you know what? To hell with the rules at some point. Yeah. But there's got to be some highs and lows. Oh my God, for lack of a better term. But like, that was not planned at all.
Looking but, down at your notes, Jesus, like, get that in.
Ignore that. I'll edit that out. But you know, everybody goes through this, and I bring this up. Firstly, it's very important to me, and I find that a lot of artists deal with this, and a lot of artists don't necessarily speak about it, and you don't have to. But over this period, it's affected a lot of people as a whole in terms of their mental health and their sanity. You know, and surely that affects the method of what you write or have written. And do you think you can find a running theme in terms of like this upward swing to your music from, okay, fine, here in March a year ago we were here, the ideas in my mind are X, Y, Z, and now as things are starting to lift up, so is the mood.
It's tricky because the collaborations, it's like which one was the catalyst really, because you've got like on the one hand like all the collabs have like really boosted us and like given us a focus for this year that may not have happened if we didn't have them. And on the other hand, we've had like everyone else, no live output, no meeting fans, no connecting with anyone, no trialing of songs. What do people like on a like an intrinsic first impression basis? And I think ultimately, like whether we like it or not, most performing artists have a bit of an ego that needs a bit of a still doing good thing. And you just don't get, like, if you're an accountant or whatever, or you're a hairdresser, or I don't know, hairdresser is not a good example, a job that's been able to continue, you might get a thing from your boss saying like, yeah, good job or whatever. Whereas like for performing artists, that is, you know, at the end of a show, like people like saying like, yeah, we love that. So like, certainly you sort of, your self-confidence lacks, but maybe we were all on like ego overdoses before, so maybe it's been a good thing anyway.
No, you're spot on, because I mean artists here in SA as well have had the same thing. You know, initially everybody had this, okay, what do we do, let's maybe use these couple of months to our advantage, and it never ended up being just a couple of months. And without anybody's, thumbs up about what they're doing, it slowly degrades the fact. So in terms of Easier, was that written within that same period of lockdown, or was it written before and just somehow kind of applied to the fact that we're in this space?
Well, Easy is kind of a funny one. We didn't write that one. So we'd written Wildfire, which is also on the album, in session with Camelback like a year before. So this is maybe like 3 months before the pandemic. And so we had a great session with Camelback, really fun. And then about, what will it be, last July, they basically asked us if we'd sing it, and Florence the Machine wrote that song.
Are you kidding? And
yeah, and she for some reason, I'm very grateful to her that she did not want to, because it's given us a little springboard. But yeah, for some reason she didn't want to be on that. So yeah, we got the honor, which was a massive honor, and that led to more collaborations since. But I don't think it was an accident that they chose that song to be their lead single. Like, the lyrics so fit into the whole essence of what lockdown's been about.
It's such a powerful song. It really and truly is such a powerful song. That, and then Not in Love came out. I mean, not too long after. I mean, how did you find the response with everybody getting in touch with you? I mean, okay, ignore me, but I'm saying, like, I mean, it's definitely helped and complimented you guys, even though it's a collab, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, the we put Easier out, and we sort of had two tracks out in a very, very short amount of time. So we had the Rhythm is Changing come out, and then the Camel Fat Easier track came out like 2 weeks after, and it was just this, like, they just like pushed each other up, and like, yeah, so we got this like double, I don't know, a double push, as it were, which was great. And then off the back of that, a lot of other artists, and especially DJs, were getting in touch, wanting to work with us, which was just like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Because we've always been the ones reaching out to other people. So for that tide to turn a little bit was like a real, wow, something's happening. And the Frankie Wah one was like a no-brainer. We sent him a few ideas first off, and then he sort of politely declined them all, was like, not right. But he just sent us this backing track, and we wrote Not in Love over the top of it. And he was just like, yeah, sweet. And the time between writing it and coming out was so short. We'd been used to these really long, drawn-out things where you write a song and then like 7 million years later it sees the light of day. And that one was like 3 months, and it was like, great, let's do more.
It's so great to actually connect. So thank you so much.
No, well, thanks for organizing it, and like, really well done with building the podcast from the ground up as well. Like, it's amazing. Like, of all the millions and millions of podcasts, and yours just like floats so well.